Okay, so let's jump into our retreat theme, which is awake. Awake, awake. I don't know about any of you ladies, but sleeping isn't just something that I do. It's something that I really, really, really like. I like sleeping. My mother told me when I was very young, it was just hard to wake up. Slept like a rock. People breaking in, earthquakes, didn't matter. I slept very, very, very soundly. How many of you can identify? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Because it's great. Sleep is really great. But to the point that of our text and our retreat theme, waking up. When we wake up, how are we when we wake up? How many of you are morning people and you just really love the morning? You love the morning. All my morning ladies. Okay, these will be the ones in the morning getting up for their morning walks and exercises. And those of us who aren't morning people will be rolling our eyes. Maybe putting the cover over our head for a little minute. But in this passage, this is the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah is saying, wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. For unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Wake up. The very interesting thing about this scripture is that this is a response. This is the Lord responding. And we're going to take a little look at why is the Lord responding and saying, wake up. First, a little bit about the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was the messianic prophet. He was the one God chose to speak to the children of Israel. Because in the book of Isaiah, the children of Israel are not obeying God. They've come out of Egypt, but they've done exactly what the Lord said not to do. He said, don't be like the nations around you. Don't worship other gods. Don't put your children through the fire. Worship me and me alone. But they, like us, were disobedient. And through these 66 chapters, we hear and we see a loving and a gracious Father tenderly calling his children back into relationship with him. And Isaiah's job is to really tell the people all of it, all the things where they missed it, all the places where they sinned, all the places where they did things that they weren't supposed to do. I've done a lot of things that I wasn't supposed to do, even when I knew God had given me a specific scripture, his word, that doesn't return void. And God is not a liar. He always tells the truth because Jesus is the what? The way, the truth, and the life. He never lies. But many times, just like the children of Israel, we kind of come up with our own ways of doing things. Anybody have their own way of doing things a little bit? We're all ladies in here, so we have a lot of ways of doing things, right? But God was gracious. And in this book of Isaiah, the main theme is that of a rescued remnant and its glorious future. But before Israel would get through to that glorious future that God had promised them, they would first have to go through the rough times just because of their disobedience. Sin is his own reward, ladies. God's not up there with his holy fly swatter waiting up to whack us every time we step out of line, right? Because the wages of sin pays. Sin pays a wage. You get a paycheck when you sin. When we sin, we get paid. And Jesus came to redeem us from that. I love the fact that Q sang that song, that last song, because it really and truly tells the story of Jesus. That crushing, that pressing that happened to him when he laid his life down for our sins. He put on skin, he put on humanity, and he came to save us. And that's Isaiah's message. He sees far into the future that messianic savior who comes from the Middle East, the Jewish savior, the redeemer. And like I learned recently, in Psalm 23, Matthew Henry says, the good shepherd is the redeemer, the savior. And my favorite, the pastor of the universe. I love that. He is the pastor of pastors. He is the shepherd of shepherds. He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the resurrection and the life. And so tonight, he's going to wake us all up. So if we go back to Isaiah 51, 9, remember I talked about God's response in 52, 1, our retreat theme? In Isaiah 51, verse 9, it says, wake up, O Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Flex your mighty right arm. Rouse yourself as in the days of old, when you slew Egypt, the dragon of the Nile. Why are the children of Israel asking God, the Creator, to wake up? Do we recall that little story when the disciples were on the water? And what was Jesus doing at the bottom of that boat? He was sleeping. And the disciples are like, do you see what's going on? We're in trouble. Can you please wake up? This is what the children of Israel are saying here. They're in trouble. And they're saying, help. We need you. Like you showed the Egyptians when you went around the back and we thought that there was no way out and you drowned them. We need you to do that again. We need you to wake up. But do we hear God's response in 52? In 52, God says, wake up, O Zion. Because I'm not asleep. Because in Psalm 121, verse 4, The psalmist writes, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep." We learned recently through Pastor Bill and his series that he's doing. How many of you love the series that he's doing right now? Like it is awesome. It's an awesome series, and I'm learning so much about the Son of Man. Because when he didn't come right away, when he heard about his friend that he loved, he waited. He waited a couple of days before he showed up. And the ladies weren't too happy with him. They weren't happy. They were like, if you had been here, you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died.
How many of you have said it in your heart? You haven't been here. Fill in the blank. If you haven't been here, fill in the blank.
But just like with Lazarus, just like with the children of Israel, when the Lord takes his time, it's not because he's late. He's never late.
He's always on time. Even when he doesn't come when you want him to, or he doesn't show up the way you think he should.
When we pray, we say, hey, I did everything. I prayed in Jesus' name, and he didn't show up the way I thought he should show up. And he replied to Martha and Mary, and he said,
did you know I was a resurrection and a life? Didn't I tell you that I was the resurrection? There is no death
in Christ. There is no death. There is no death. No death in him. Because he is a resurrection. And he is the life. Before we move on, I kind of wanted to look at a little sleep research. I had to do it. Because sleep's my thing. But as humans, God has made us so great that we have 5 stages of sleep. That first stage is that first 5 to 15 minutes where we kind of start to pull back and you can't really hear what's going on. Or if you do, it's kind of like that twilight sleep maybe that you might get when you have a twilight. Where your heart rate starts to slow down. And then that next stage, that second stage is when you really start to withdraw. But that third stage, that one there, that's the important one. That's the stage that when we look at the scriptures, it says God put Adam into a very deep sleep. And sometimes, just like Shannon was saying, we're in a deep sleep, but we're sleepwalking. But our eyes are open, but we're asleep. We might be in that third stage. Those fourth and fifth stages are the REMs. It's where you really kind of, your emotions get reconciled during that kind of sleep. Because according to Harvard Business Review, the minimum amount of sleep needed for a good night's rest is 6 hours a night. How many of you get 6+ a night? All right. You are in the 22% of Americans. 22% of Americans get 6 hours plus a night of sleep. And in 2017, the Center for Creative Leadership conducted an international study among leaders and found 42% of leaders get 6 or few hours of shut-eye a night. Sleep allows us to consolidate and replenish our memories, process emotional experiences, and replenish glucose, the molecule that fuels the brain. And it also helps to clear out waste, and this will be important to all of us, the waste product beta amyloid, the waste product that builds up in Alzheimer's patients and disrupts cognitive ability, or simply put, the way we think or our ability to think. And so, while sleep is important and God made us fearfully and wonderfully, and that we really do need that sleep. We need that rest. We need our cells to be repaired as we sleep. But at the same time, there's a time for sleep. And then there's a time to wake up. So let's take a look. You like my twins? Aren't they cute? I don't know who they are, though, but they're really cute. And so, yes, and so we're going to take a look at some scriptures. And David was running from Saul. And if you were in that Bible study, in the women's study, we read about that, and we learned about that. And in 2 Samuel, it says that God put Saul and his men into a targumah. A targumah. It was for his purpose, because at that time, David took the jug of water that was near Saul's head, and all of the soldiers that were around Saul at that time. Because Saul, he fell asleep. He was king, but he thought he could do his own thing. He thought that because God had called him and that he was king, that he didn't have to obey. God is love, ladies, and he is also holy. And he will hold us accountable for what we know about him, about who he is, and about what he has called us to do. And more than our do is our who we are in Christ. Matters much more than our activity for him. Because he wants us in a relationship with him. He doesn't just want our activity. And while it's great that we serve, and he wants us to, but not in absence of being awake and alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not church attendance
It's not church membership.
It's being made alive. Because without Christ, we are all dead. We're in a different kind of sleep. My sons say, I don't know, maybe some of yours say, stay woke. Stay woke. I try and keep up. I really do. I try and keep up. My son's like, Mom, stay woke. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm awake. I slept a little late because it's the weekend, but I'm awake. But staying woke is not just, it's a metaphor. Jesus used it in so many ways when he talked about the little girl when she died. He said, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Why? Why was she only sleeping to Jesus? Because he's the resurrection. There is no death when he's around. So let's take a look at some other examples of sleep. And I think I really loved when we were in this study, in the women's study, in the book of Samuel, because we learn about Hannah. Hannah had some infertility issues, and she prayed. She went to the temple. Eli thought that she was drunk, but she wasn't. She was in grief because she was the first wife, and she had no children. And Penina kind of threw some shade there. She threw a lot of shade at Hannah for not having children. And if we fast forward and we look at Hannah, in chapter 2, she talks about once she has Samuel and once she gives her desire to the Lord, he gives her a son. And she praises God and she thanks him. And the interesting thing about little Samuel is that when she drops him off at the temple, he gets called by God as a boy. He's just a boy. God calls him 3 times while he's sleeping. He says, Samuel. And Samuel gets up, runs to Eli, and he goes, yeah. And Eli goes, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And I don't know about you, has God ever woken you up in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? Do you go get a sandwich or do you pray? I go back to sleep sometimes. But Eli told Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel did that, but his message wasn't good. And to Q's point earlier, Eli was the priest. He'd gotten fat. He'd gotten comfortable. And who was God speaking to? It wasn't Eli. It was a little boy. And God will do the same with us if we stay asleep. He'll call that next young, obedient servant that says, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm listening. Speak. I'm awake. Samuel was awake, but he wasn't awake. One of the things I really love about God's word is that it confirms itself. In Ephesians 5:10 through 12, it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about things ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The book of Ephesians, I like to look at it in two parts, the first three chapters and then the last three chapters. So chapters 1, 2, and 3, part one, and then chapters 4, 5, and 6, which in my mind would be part two. So in Ephesians 1, God tells us about our identity in Christ and the spiritual blessings that come with that identity through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We're adopted into the family of God through Christ Jesus. And Satan is the original identity thief. If you've ever had your identity stolen through a credit card or some other fraud, it's kind of a nightmare. You have to start all over. And that's what happened when sin entered the garden. They lost their identity. They didn't know who they were anymore. And then what they tried to do is sew some fig leaves together to like try and say, okay, all right, maybe this fits. But it didn't work. And many of us have loved ones and people that we know who are struggling with our identity because they don't know that they're created in the image and the likeness of God. They don't know that there is a Savior and his name is Jesus. And he put on skin and he came down to seek and to save that lost identity, that identity that Christ gives us when we are adopted into his family. And so because our first parents, Adam and Eve, listened to the lies of the serpent, he stole their original identities. But the scriptures say that their eyes were opened because he told them. He told Eve, I should say, if you do this, your eyes will be open. But that was a lie. And Satan tells us the same thing in many ways. If you do this, you will have this. Your eyes will be opened. God does some really interesting things when I'm on the freeway on my way to work and there was a truck on Thursday and it said, "Wake up." And we will open your eyes. Sounds familiar. It was an advertisement for a news program that was like at 6 or 5:30 in the morning for all you wonderful early birds. But one of the things that happens when God opens our eyes, when he says, "Wake up," we understand that we're created in the image and the likeness of him. We understand that we are loved and chosen before the foundation of the world. We understand that we were once dead, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, but we are created anew in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, his masterpiece. And because of Christ, those who were once Jew or Gentile by birth, those who were once far away, those who were near, are all one in Christ. And in chapter 3, we hear about the wisdom of God. And we hear about the grace by faith through Jesus Christ and his righteousness and not our own self-righteousness. In Ephesians 5, 10 through 12, here it is again. The light makes everything visible, it says in the 14th verse. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead." When Peter was put in prison by King Herod Agrippa in Acts 12, he was asleep. And the light shone in the prison. The soldiers that he was shackled to didn't wake up. Neither did those who were around him, the other soldiers who were watching the door. They didn't wake up. But Peter got up because God made a way. And when you and I get up, God will make a way. He won't do what you can do, but he will do what you can. And so if we're willing to wake up, he'll do the rest. If we're willing to just open our eyes, he'll shine. I want to move for this last part to Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. Where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to all who mourn." In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is in the synagogue. He finds the place where Isaiah is written. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that blind men will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And that's what Isaiah 52:1 is about. It's about telling us that the time of the Lord's favor has come. But before it does, and before we can fully participate, we have to do our part. And we have to wake up. And Jesus, by his power, because he is the light, he is the way, and he is the truth, he'll do the rest. But we first have to wake up. We first have to at least be willing, when he calls us, to open our eyes. And the best way that I know to do that is to put your eyes in his word and to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for giving us, Father God, this call to wake up. The same way, Jesus, when you called Lazarus from the dead, you said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he's saying to us, each individual woman, "Lazarus, come forth." You and I are Lazarus, ladies. And he is calling us by his Holy Spirit to come out, to wake up. And he will do the rest. Father God, we thank you so much for giving us this privilege. We thank you so much for giving us this time, for letting us know that it is time for us to wake up. and for giving us the opportunity to do so. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much for being the one who sets us free, who wakes us up, and who shines on us. We give you praise, Father, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.